MBA Admissions Podcast. I'm your host, Graham Richmond, and this episode is actually the very first in a new series that we're launching called Real Humans. And many of you are familiar with ClearAdmit's series of articles of the same name, where we publish stories about real MBA students or admissions officers and even alumni. But this is the first time we're bringing this content to the podcast, and I'm actually very excited about this. And the first Real Humans episode takes us to Palo Alto and the Stanford Graduate School of Business. I cannot think of a better place to start. And we have two very special guests, Julia Osterman, who is an MBA MS student at Stanford. Welcome, Julia.
Hi, great to be here. Thank you.
And Pulkit Agarwal, who is a second year MBA student at Stanford. So Pulkit, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So let me give just a really quick background on each of you so that our listeners, as you know, many of whom are kind of interested in Stanford and interested in pursuing an MBA, have kind of the background they need. So Julia, you are an MBA MS joint degree student. And I guess the MS part is in the environment and resources degree program that they have. And I just wanted people to understand that, you know, kind of a little bit about your background. You are co-president of the Stanford GSB Sustainable Business Club. Prior to Stanford, you'd worked with senior leadership at the Nature Conservancy to help drive that organization's global priority and goal setting process and address challenges facing people and nature. So very interesting work. Hopefully we'll hear a little bit more about that. And I guess my understanding is you have a BA in environmental studies that you did at Yale University with a focus on biodiversity and conservation. So that's some background on Julia. Pulkit, you are a second year MBA. You mentioned that you are ethnically Indian, but grew up on the border of between France and Switzerland, which is fascinating to me. And you went to Georgia Tech for undergrad. So hopefully we'll hear a little bit about that journey from like Europe to Georgia. And you studied mechanical engineering. You mentioned that you worked at, I'm going to get this wrong, maybe Palantir. Is that how you pronounce that?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Palantir. And then started BlockHire, which is a recruiting agency in the blockchain space. And you also shared that you're kind of a younger MBA student, that you actually matriculated or began the program at the age of 23 and that you were deferred admit. So you're actually admitted like 3 years prior to attending. I guess so you were about 20 years old. So let's dive in, guys. I have a bunch of questions that I just want our listeners to get to know you and to understand not only the journey to Stanford and what appealed to you about the program, but what it's been like, you know, as you've been studying there. So the first big question, I guess we'll start with Julia, is why business school and what why now? Like, what was the timing around that? How did you know you were ready? And yeah, what attracted you to the MBA?
Yeah, so I have always been really passionate about addressing environmental issues. As you said, I got an environmental studies major at Yale. And after working at the Nature Conservancy with senior leadership on driving the global goal setting process, you know, I was really thinking about how can I be the greatest change maker for addressing climate challenges and really providing for the well-being of 9 billion people in the future, providing them food, water, and energy, while at the same time not destroying nature in the process. And by watching leadership at the Nature Conservancy, seeing their pragmatic approach to addressing these problems, which incorporated innovative finance and thinking about economic drivers and addressing policy and changing corporate practices, I really wanted to go to business school for, you know, two reasons. One was, how can I learn how to make organizations as effective as possible? How can I help to drive organizational change? What are the best practices around that? And could I be in a program where I could be have like sort of a accelerator for my impact at a leadership, organizational leadership level, was one. And then two, really getting a really deep dive and technical expertise and hard skills around finance and around economics. So understanding, you know, what drives investment, how do you unlock capital to move towards green and more sustainable forms of market-based solutions, and how do you drive that innovation to scale? So I really wanted to be able to have the tools to work at speed and scale to address climate change. And the reason I went to business school then was that it was just, I felt the urgency of climate change really acutely. You know, I wasn't convinced or sure that, you know, nonprofit was the best place for me to be making the biggest change that I could. And so I wanted to explore that in business school to say, how can I build on my strengths really hone and be able to grow this skill set around finance and economics, and then, you know, figure out where I'm best positioned to make the biggest difference going forward.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And it sounds like, you know, given your undergraduate background in environmental studies and biodiversity and conservation, that, you know, getting the MBA kind of filled some gaps for you too, which is, you know, critical as you kind of start to deal with some of the challenges at the economic level and things.
Right. I mean, actually, addressing climate change is fundamentally how do you shift our economy, right? How do you change the way that investment goes to infrastructure, to the way that we produce food and how we source energy? So, you know, I wanted to be able to understand how to harness the finance and economics to drive that change.
Makes sense. So Pulkit, can I turn to you now? I'm kind of curious, what drove you to business school? And it'd be great if you could comment on, I mean, you knew early on, like you were 20 and you were applying for a deferred admission. So tell us a little bit about how you knew. And yeah, I mean, that would be really interesting to understand.
For sure. So as a mechanical engineer, I was always trying to tinker with products and trying to build something to build a company. I can remember from a very young age, I was taking erasers from my mom's workplace and selling it at school. So I think I was meant to be an entrepreneur since the start. So you know, the statistic that I found most interesting is that 62% of startups fail due to co-founder conflict. And so if somebody tells me that take this program and I can increase your chance of success by 62%, that's amazing. And in mechanical engineering and in the technical side, you learn how to build these products. But in the MBA, you really get to finesse your capabilities of like working together with people, creating a team dynamic, so that you start to bring down the 62% of co-founder conflict to near zero. And that's been the most amazing part of business school and what I realized I needed at the time. And the second aspect is that just the people that you find on this campus are just so amazing. I mean, they're the top in their individual fields. And so when it comes to starting a company, you can have access to almost any single person in different fields just by looking around campus. And then if people are interested, then they are ready to join you as well. And they're fantastic human beings to work with.
Got it. And what made you, you know, so I guess you must have applied. Were you still a student in undergrad when you applied, or had you just graduated? Where were you in your kind of trajectory when you applied to Stanford?
Yeah, I was a sophomore at Georgia Tech when I first heard about the Stanford Deferred Admit Program. I decided, you know what, let's do it. I can already see that I need to improve my business skills since I don't even know what a business plan is. So I spent most of junior year taking the GMAT and preparing my application and submitted my application the first semester of senior year.
Got it. Okay. Makes sense. So I think you've started to touch on this, so I'm going to stick with you for the first part of this question. Pulkit, why Stanford? I mean, you started to talk about some of the people you run into on campus and like what drove you to kind of consider Stanford and ultimately matriculate?
Yeah, for sure. So the biggest thing about Stanford that drew me here is the focus on entrepreneurship. I mean, just by virtue of being into the Silicon Valley, there is so much focus here in terms of classes, in terms of opportunities and people around. I mean, we're right next to Sand Hill Road, so all the VCs are here. So it's a very great environment to be in as an entrepreneur. The second thing is that Stanford as a whole is much more than just a business school. And so you can be at the business school, but I can hop over and I've taken classes in the engineering school in quantum computing and in blockchain and AI. And then you can also go to the design school, learn all the buzzwords there. I mean, you're really being taught by the top researchers in every single field, not just at the business school, but at Stanford in overall. And lastly, obviously, like West Coast for me is best coast. So I love being over here.
Okay, that makes sense. Julia, do you want to comment on, you know, what made Stanford appealing? And yeah, how did you kind of choose it?
Yeah, I think a lot of what Pulkit said resonated with my reasons as well. You know, I wanted to be where the hub of innovation is happening to address climate change. We have to rethink really everything in terms of how we address the climate challenge and really innovate on new business models and on new financial models, new mechanisms. So I was really drawn to Silicon Valley and also California as a leader on climate action. And then the joint degree program was really attractive to me because I wanted to build on this environmental science foundation that I'd gotten in undergrad and through working at the Nature Conservancy and be able to hone that into Masters of Science. And being on Stanford campus, it's just the innovation spirit, the entrepreneurial spirit is infectious. And, you know, I also said I wanted to step out of my comfort zone in business school. You know, this is a big investment of time and money. I want to make sure that I'm really making the most of it and being challenged to think differently and step out of my comfort zone. And I think Stanford really does a great job of doing that by virtue of your classmates are doing all innovative, exciting things and really challenging the status quo. And willing to do startups and not take the well-tread path. I found that to be really inspiring and infectious and something that I have found to be and was excited about when choosing business school. Also, you know, I was looking for something on the West Coast in particular too. My partner and I were actually coordinating about where we would go next. And so actually, you know, I think it's personal is important too. And thinking about, you know, how we would navigate two driven, career driven people to find opportunity. The Bay Area is just a great place to be.
The Clear Admit MBA Admissions podcast is brought to you by the evening and weekend program at the Kellogg School of Management. Reach your highest career goals while earning an MBA part-time. The evening and weekend MBA program at the Kellogg School of Management, conveniently located at their downtown Chicago campus, offers flexible study options to fit your lifestyle and match your experience. By graduation, you'll share the same toolkit, skills, and network as the school's most prominent alumni. Visit kellogg.northwestern.edu/EW to learn more. That makes sense. And I'm also guessing, and I forgive me because I'm not well versed in how many programs offer this kind of dual degree with the kind of focus on, you know, kind of not just the MBA, but the MS in environment and resources. So I don't know if that was like a something that really helped kind of push Stanford into the win column, or whether you found that that was something on offer in other schools, or
it definitely put it into the win column. It's very few other schools offer that option, and then also offer that option in terms of the MBA program is so solid and so, you know, well regarded and really. I loved that they were connected and that there was the ability to have that interdisciplinary thinking, but also, you know, I could get a very genuinely, purely MBA experience, put it with the MS on top of that.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I appreciate you mentioning the personal side, because I think sometimes candidates overlook that, or they're almost like afraid to kind of talk about that aspect. But I think for many people applying to business school, yeah, they have a partner or, you know, there are other considerations. I do think it's interesting that both of you are not from California at all, or even the West Coast. You know, I think I remember, Julia, from your bio, you're from maybe Maryland or somewhere on the East Coast. And obviously, Pulkit, you're from very, very far. And actually, it's interesting because, you know, a lot of the European crowd say, oh, I want to be East Coast because it's I can get back to Europe easily, see friends and family or whatever. But I understand also there's this great appeal with the Bay Area. And I guess, are both of you feeling, maybe Pulkit, you can comment first, are you both feeling pretty welcome in the kind of Bay Area, and despite being from very far away originally?
Yeah, absolutely. The Bay Area is this very special space. I feel like despite having grown up in so many different countries, I mean, I grew up in Shanghai, in Switzerland, in France. My parents are in Singapore now. I can still bring my entire self here in Bay Area, and people understand and recognize it.
Okay. And Julia, you're not having too much culture shock East Coast to West?
No, actually. You know, it's, as I said, the focus on entrepreneurship and innovation is really refreshing, and risk taking is something that's been really welcome. And you know, I've loved the nature here too. It's amazing. The Bay Area is gorgeous for getting out and exploring nature. So that's, if people care about that, that is a big plus.
Absolutely. Okay. So I'm just kind of, this is kind of a fun one-off question, but Julia, what do you think is your most valuable or kind of differentiating contribution to your class at Stanford? What did you kind of bring to the table that's really unique and that stands out?
Yeah, I think it's this lens of thinking about how is climate change going to shape the future of business, and what are the opportunities for innovation. I like to say, you know, that as tech reshaped the world, so too will climate innovation. Like, fundamentally, every industry will have to change, and you're already seeing the momentum building from companies making commitments to Larry Fink of BlackRock saying we have to really incorporate climate risk and considerations in how we invest. And so I think having that lens in the classroom, and also I created a formal venue for really talking about this subject by co-founding GSB's first conference on business and climate change last year. And we just had the second one this past week. And it was even bigger and better than last year. I mean, last year we had over 200 participants, same with this year. And the conversations there that convened students, alumni, and industry leaders to talk about how business will change in the future is just so inspiring. And I've been really grateful to have a platform for that and to contribute a formal dialogue on climate and business to the GSB.
That makes sense. Yeah, and thanks for making time to do this. Sounds like you've had a really busy week, so always appreciate students making time to talk with us. And Pulkit, what do you think you bring? I mean, I was going to say you've lived in so many different countries and things, but I'm sure there are other things too. What do you feel that you bring to the class that's a unique kind of differentiating factor?
Yeah, well, you know, when you go to a party, there's always that one person who's the blockchain guy. And I found myself to be the blockchain guy at business school. And I think that it comes from like having worked in the industry prior. But my first couple months, I was just talking about different blockchains and Bitcoin and all the things I've invested in. But what's amazing is I got to share that and people were actually interested and they were listening not only to the economic side of it, but also to the technical side of it. And then how it can be incorporated in different products and ideas.
It's funny you mentioned this because I co-host this podcast often with a colleague of mine named Alex Brown, and he's sort of fascinated by Bitcoin and blockchain, but also always mentions that he's very confused by it. So we'll have to, if you ever come by the Clear Admit office, we'll have to get you to, we'll buy you a drink and you can sort of expand our knowledge of the area, because it's definitely an area that's, you know, obviously one of the hot spots, you know, it's things we hear a lot of MBA students talking about. So, what's a fun fact, Pulkit, that didn't get included on your application when you applied to Stanford? So something that maybe you didn't share, but that is kind of a good kind of party conversation or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm not sure how fun this is, but I love sports and I play almost every single sport known to man, but squash is my favorite.
Okay.
And so I play squash about 4 times a week. I play basketball 2 or 3 times a week, ultimate frisbee twice a week. And so my best weekend would just be sports all day from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. sleep. Do it again on Sunday if it were up to me.
Now, does that leave you any time to do your homework? It sounds like, I mean, you must have some homework in the MBA program.
It's funny you say that, actually, because there was during finals last quarter, I started my final and it turned out to be pretty easy. So we have 4 hours to do it. So I did an hour, went and played basketball, came back into the last hour and then submitted it.
Got it. Excellent. So Julia, what about you? Something kind of a fun fact that didn't make it into your application.
Well, I love singing. It's an emotional and creative outlet for me. I was in a cappella in undergrad and traveled the world with my a cappella group singing. And I've actually found that I could bring this talent to business school. I was in the GSB musical for the past 2 years.
Wow.
And it was a really fun way to get to know classmates and to, you know, be on stage and in front of your classmates talk. It's an original musical that the school puts on every year, totally student run, student produced, the sets, costumes, the music, everything is done by students. And I've really loved how I could bring my singing career to bear at the GSB. And honestly, it was like the number one thing I could do to up my status within the class, I think, was the after the musical, the day afterwards, people will be like, oh my gosh, I saw you. You were great. So don't be afraid to bring your full self in that way too. It's been really fun.
That's terrific. And my understanding, I did not go to Yale as an undergraduate, but I know of Yale's kind of prowess in the a cappella domain. Like it's a big thing there. So no doubt you probably really added to the class with that skill. And it's funny, I think the very best business schools in the world, you know, the Stanfords and Harvards and Whartons, they all do these, you know, kind of shows or, you know, this type of activity, and they're really good. Like I've seen when I did my MBA, you know, I got to participate in that and saw, you know, you just can, and I've seen online even some of the stuff out of Stanford and Harvard, and it's pretty impressive. Almost like, I feel like they need to have like a Golden Globes or an Oscars of these things, because they're, you know, pretty impressive. I'm always like shocked at like, you know, these kind of business types can actually act, you know, so it's fun and sing.
Yes.
So next question that I had for both of you, Julia, if you're willing to start on this one, what is it that you kind of want to do after business school. And I know, you know, you kind of talked about this interest in how is climate change going to impact business. But if you could, you know, like concretely sort of lay out, like, here's where I might want to go work after business school. And this is what I would be doing. And then maybe, you know, in the longer term, how, like, what are the steps that you're envisioning for your career as it unfolds after Stanford?
Sure. Well, I'm considering various options, but more and more I'm intrigued by and think I'm going to go to working with an organization, most likely a private sector company, that's made ambitious targets on going carbon neutral or carbon negative. We just saw Microsoft committed to going carbon negative, and it has a $1 billion carbon innovation fund on carbon removal. Delta just committed $1 billion to go carbon neutral. So I think this is a wave in the private sector, and I am really excited about the chance to build on my knowledge of the science around how do you invest in nature to sequester carbon and sequester carbon emissions to in the bridge industries that currently it's very hard to decarbonize. So in the short term, companies are looking to investments in nature or investments in technology that will remove carbon from the atmosphere or from other different ways of carbon removal. And so I'm really excited about helping to shape what those programs look like and where do you invest those dollars? How do you think about the best return on investment for those dollars? What's the sort of the strategy and then actually making it happen in a company? So that's where I'm really excited to go. And, you know, I think that my experience working within a private sector or large organization to figure out how to do that at scale will be really useful in the future as the economy is shifting to be able to understand the opportunities there and how do you structure deals and really drive technology from, you know, to scale is will be a big and important question going forward.
Makes sense. Pulkit, what are you thinking about post-MBA in terms of your career move?
Sure. So Stanford actually had a huge impact on me. So my post-career, post-MBA goals have changed significantly. One is I'm leaving the world of blockchain behind, unfortunately.
Okay.
Second, I thought I wanted to stay in California and start a company here, but I actually want to move to Southeast Asia, specifically Singapore, right after business school.
Okay.
My parents currently live there. And one of the things Stanford helped me realize is that personal life is an important factor into deciding career moves, which I hadn't previously taken in.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the Southeast Asia moves comes from that. But once I get to Southeast Asia, I'm looking to work in the data analysis space. I mean, leveraging my experience at Palantir. And then as I get an understanding of the ecosystem, maybe grow a company there that focuses on the Southeast Asian or even Asia as a general market. I mean, that part of the world has so many consumers that are currently not being touched as much by U.S. companies and U.S. talent. So I want to change that narrative a little bit.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. I recognize I'm kind of putting you guys on the spot because you haven't graduated yet and all these things are always in flux until the last minute. But I appreciate you sharing, you know, your goals. Okay, so now, you know, folks listening to this are all, I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that most of them are dying to go to Stanford. I mean, that's, you know, it's obviously a fantastic MBA program and, you know, many more people apply each year than can get in. And so I wondered if you had any advice for these current prospective applicants. And, you know, so for example, like what's one thing you would absolutely do again as a part of your application process? And is there anything that you might do differently? Pulkit, do you want to kind of walk us through that angle on things? And then Julia will turn to you.
Absolutely. So I took a lot of advice before applying. And I think the most important advice I received was that in your answers, really answer the question and don't try to impress. So what I mean by that is, for example, when they ask what matters most to you and why, what my initial drafts were all about, you know, talking about stories that make me look good. But the one that actually ended up going into my essay was just a very simple story of me on a cruise ship with my parents doing a scavenger hunt. And what mattered to me was learning through that scavenger hunt. It has no professional implications. It doesn't paint me in a great light. I mean, we came second. We didn't even come first in a scavenger hunt. So
okay,
it was really about focusing on those experiences that show who you really are and really what matters to you, not about talking about when you won the Oscars or came first in a certain race. And the thing I would change or do differently is to actually, I would have visited the school before applying. There's a lot of culture that's here at Stanford that you can just see by just being in this area for a couple hours. And you can then tailor your application to talk about how this culture specifically will be a good fit for you.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. Julia, what about you? Is there anything that you would absolutely do again as a part of your process when you apply, and anything that you might have wanted to do differently?
Yeah, I think what I would do definitely do again is just really be thinking deeply as to why Stanford. I know that sounds really basic, but you know, what about Stanford specifically will be the missing ingredient to help launch you to be the biggest change maker or leader that you can be, or the best you can be. And I think really thinking around, like, what kind of classes are there, what kind of clubs or on-campus opportunities, and really citing those specifically in your essay, you know, to show that you've done your homework, but also to show, start to paint a picture for the admissions officers of what you would contribute to the community. You know, how would you leverage the amazing resources that Stanford has to make a difference for your classmates and to, you know, go off from Stanford to make a difference for the world. And so I think really thinking about that, whether it's specific class or club or starting something at Stanford, you know, that you'd be excited to build on, that the students are already doing, and build something new. I think that's really meaningful to show how Stanford's that sort of secret sauce to help you become even better version of yourself. And then what I would change or do differently, I would talk to as many people as I can. I talked to a few people before going. I actually was fortunate enough to visit Stanford campus. But if you're not able to visit, or you're not able to, I would just try to reach out to Stanford alumni or to other people who you know of that are, you know, do it pays to do the work to sleuth and figure out how to connect with Stanford students or alumni. I have many calls with prospective students and generally find that students are really open and excited to talk about their experience at Stanford. So don't be shy to reach out and to see if you can talk to people, because really having those insights, you know, as Pulkit said, around what's really makes Stanford special and being able to reference that in your application and just even give you a really honest look at what is it like to be at Stanford? What is it actually like to be there? I think is really helpful.
Yeah, it sounds like really good advice. And I think, I feel like sometimes candidates lose sight, like they sort of like, oh, I'm applying to Stanford because it's one of the best programs in the world, or it's known for this or that. But I think you're right, getting that personal exposure to people who've either graduated or are current students goes a long way. I think it also just makes you a more polished applicant in terms of when you go to do your interview or when you write your essays. You know, you can actually demonstrate some degree of knowledge. And I think what both of you are sort of suggesting is that, you know, to the extent that the admissions team can kind of picture you as a student and know, like, well, what are you going to be doing here? And how are you going to contribute? That obviously will go a long way. So, those are great pieces of advice. I think we've touched on this next question I had a little bit, but I'm just curious what are your impressions of Stanford's students, culture, community? You've sort of both, I mean, I've heard a lot about, as we've discussed today, I've heard a lot about like entrepreneurial spirit and, you know, people are kind of experts in their fields and really bright and there's a lot of resources. But any other kind of thoughts, Julia, we'll start with you, that you want to kind of share about the kind of, yeah, just what's life like on the campus?
Yeah, in addition to what you just said, I've been really pleasantly surprised and just really grateful for how supportive and collaborative the community is. You really have this feeling that everyone's cheering you on and really is with you on this journey to be the best version of yourself, you know, in a holistic way. Like, how can you be a great leader, but also have, a full, fulfilling, meaningful life? And this sense of support. We have this thing called Talk, where people will get up in front of their classmates and share how they got to Stanford, what made them who they are, what are the transformative experiences in their lives, both the struggles and the triumphs. And I think that just seeing your classmates out there supporting you in doing that and that sharing that vulnerability and connection, it's really an amazing, special place to be for that just sort of spirit of support and encouragement and connection.
Yeah, that sounds terrific. And Pulkit, what about you? What's been your impression of the students and culture and community at Stanford?
First, I want to agree completely with what Julia said. I mean, I'm part of this improv club here, and we did an improv show, and people were laughing just throughout, even at the bad jokes they were making. So there's really a lot of support in everything you do. People love it when you try to do anything. The other thing is, there's a lot of, I mean, you touched on this, there's a lot of experience and expertise, but there's also a lot of humility. And a great example of this is, if you ever want to know something about a classmate, the best way to find out is just to Google them. And the first page of Google will be full of just articles and photos and awards and everything about these individuals. But as you're talking to them, you can know them for, you know, 6 months and have no idea that any of this even happened.
Yeah, I think humility is actually a really good trait that you find, you know, when you visit top MBA program campuses and meet students. It's always, I feel like sometimes business schools get a bad rap in the media or whatever, is, you know, being students being of a certain sort of character, where nothing could be really further from the truth when you go on the campus of Stanford or any of the top schools really and sit down with students. So humility, and I think that's actually probably good advice for people in their applications too. Keep that in mind. Last question I have for you, because I know you both are probably running off to class and have many, many things going on in your lives, or maybe Pulkit, you're going to run off and play some ultimate frisbee. what's one thing, we'll start with you, Pulkit. What's one thing that you learned, that you've learned about Stanford that has really surprised you, that you had no idea going in that this would be the case?
Yeah. So the thing I've learned is that the strength of the GSB network gets stronger and stronger the further you are from the Palo Alto zip code. And for example, an example for that is, you know, we visited Dubai, we visited Brazil, and, you know, I go to Singapore at home. And in all these places, the GSB network is so tightly knit. Because it's smaller, it's more tightly knit. And so I could reach out to the 112 alumni that are there in Singapore. And I did. And within 24 hours, I had responses from 15% of them. And, you know, within 48 hours, I had meetings booked with almost all of them. And so the business school network is spread all across the globe, but it is extremely strong, especially further away from Palo Alto.
Okay, so Stanford grads stick together, especially when away from kind of home, you know, let's call it. So that makes sense. What about, Julia, what about you? Is there something that's been really surprising for you about Stanford?
Yeah, I think it's just how student-driven the culture and the opportunities and what a platform you have at Stanford and within the GSB in particular. You know, if you want to do something, you can figure, and you're creative and persistent and are passionate, you can figure out how to get the resources to go do it. And it's such a tremendous privilege to be at a place like that. And so starting the Climate Business Innovation Conference, you know, Stanford gave us a platform to do that, to invite leaders on campus and to really drive this conversation, and having a platform and administration and that's supportive of encouraging students to really take their passions and turn it into action and to actualize those is really exciting. And I just want to encourage students as they're applying to Stanford or at Stanford to really think about how, you know, this is a platform for you to do that and find it, being creative and persistent for finding ways to harness those resources to make change within the school and beyond.
Yeah, and that's great to hear. I think that, and that's probably not true at every MBA program in terms of your ability to kind of, you know, chart your own course or create new things. So I think that's great to point out. So Julia Osterman and Pulkit Agrawal, I'm so thrilled that you guys were part of this inaugural journey with Real Humans on the Clear Admit podcast. Thank you so much for, you know, bearing all and telling us all about your stories as you kind of decided to pursue an MBA and ended up at Stanford and what you've gotten out of the program so far. And I wish you both the best of luck as you kind of finish up your degrees and head off and pursue the goals that you described as we chatted. So thank you so much, both of you, for making time.
Thank you so much, Graham.
Yeah, thank you.
So listeners, stay tuned because we're going to have more episodes of Clear Admit Real Humans with other MBA students across the globe. And so stay tuned. And again, Julian and Pulkit, thank you so much. And we'll be back with more episodes in the coming weeks.